Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 24. I'm not going to read all of the verses. I'm going to focus in on verse 18 and end with verses 23 and 24. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Do you believe that we are in a battle with a powerful enemy? Do you believe that? Do you seriously believe that, or do you just give it lip service? Oh yeah, I know, Bill, the Bible says that. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8, just to remind you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't think Peter could have used any more hyperbole to change that text. That Satan is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 6 verse 11 tells us to put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Here's your enemy. He's scheming. He's plotting against you. He's going around. He's walking around like a lion seeking to devour you. As I said, this topic of prayer is very solemn. Satan sets his traps. He baits his hooks. He lies in wait to capture and destroy the unsuspecting Christian. We do not have to become victims, though, of Satan's schemes and his traps, because God has equipped us for everything that we need to stand against the enemy. Ephesians 6, verse 18 tells us, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that for this purpose you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God has equipped his saints for the work of the ministry. He has equipped his saints for living the Christian life as a soldier, not in defeat, day in and day out, by the enemy of our souls. We've considered the pieces of armor in Ephesians 6, verses 14 through 17. We went through that over 4 or 5 weeks. The different pieces of armor. Now, we'll look at perhaps the greatest provision, the greatest supply, the greatest provision by Almighty God for his saints. The provision of prayer. Let me just say this up front. A man or a woman, you're no more than you are on your knees. You are no more with God than what you are in prayer. Don't deceive yourself. The provision of prayer. Paul does not put forth prayer as a weapon, but as the means for utilizing the armor he has already talked about. Have you been in prayer? Have you been praying always? About girding your loins with the belt of truth. About putting on the breastplate of righteousness. About putting on the boots of the gospel of peace. About lifting up the shield of faith. About putting on the helmet of salvation. About taking up the sword of the Spirit. Have you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about it? That's God's greatest provision for his saints. Let us look at prayer in the context of spiritual warfare. The definition of prayer: a request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God Almighty. Prayer is simply talking to God. Do you talk to God? Do you talk to Him consistently, specifically? Any time that we turn our attention towards God and we speak to Him, we are praying. Our praying can take many forms. We pray in private. We pray in public. We pray in loud voices. We pray in silence. Other times we whisper. We pray in all types of positions and postures. We stand, we kneel, we lay down. We walk, we talk. When we drive, when we rest, when we're at home, when we're at church, when we're at work, when we're on vacation. Does this describe your prayer life? The Bible talks about many forms, many places, many postures, and many circumstances for prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God, even as I simply talk to my wife. I have to be in a certain position to talk to my wife. Jesus prayed while He was here. He prayed standing, He prayed sitting, He prayed kneeling, and possibly prayed in other positions I don't know about. We can pray anywhere, anytime, about anything, in any posture. Our time for prayer is always. When I get to the prayer, turn to Romans 12. Anybody that says, I don't have time, you have time, you just don't have desire. Romans 12, verse 12. Romans 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly. It's a frame of mind. Continually. Colossians 4, 2. Tells us, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it. Vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Where does this message find you today? It should find every one of us in the same place. In desperate need to be talking to the Father about our prayer. That every one of us falls short in our prayer. To pray always does not mean we walk around in an attitude of formal prayer. It doesn't mean you walk around, oh God, I beseech it thee, thou knowest that I am heareth. That is not what prayer is about. It's not about ritualistic prayers. Like little children, here we lay me down to sleep, hope to God in the morning I wake up. Some kind of ritualistic day in and day out prayer. It's not memorized prayer. Our Father, one in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. It's not memorized prayer like that. Slow down. Our Father, stop right there. Meditate on that for an hour or two. Our Father. The God of this universe, who you sinned against all your life, even as a Christian, sinned against Him. Yet He adopts you into His family, and you can call Him Abba, Father, Daddy. I was looking at my grandson right now. He's asking his mother something. That's what we're to do with our Father. Not formalized prayer, not ritualistic prayer. Not praying as the Pharisees on the street corner for everybody to see. To pray always does mean that we live in a constant awareness of His presence. Do you not know that you live your life in the presence of God, in the panim of God, in the face of God, in all of His glory? Every waking moment of your life, you're living in His presence. Are you aware of that? To pray always means that the soul is always reaching up to God. It's never quenched. You never can get enough. Try drinking a river. Try drinking an ocean. Try drinking the universe. Is the soul just reaching up, Lord, give me more, give me more. Or is your prayer today, Lord, leave me alone, leave me alone. Reaching up, knowing you're in the pane, in the face of God, continually in all His glory. To pray always means that we see everything and every experience as a kind of prayer to God. No matter what happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you look at it as an opportunity to pray to Almighty God. If it's good tidings, hallelujah, thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness, really, for your kindness. If it's hell, death, damnation, destruction all around you, then Father, thank you that I can come before you. I can bring my petitions, I can bring my supplications, I can rest. Knowing that you're the sovereign God, that you're omnipotent, that you're omniscient, that you're supreme, that you're majestic. Prayer. When we're tempted, we're to call on Him and ask for help. When we sin, when we see sin and wickedness, we're to call on Him to work in the situation, to make it right. And to work it out for His glory. How often do you finger point, oh, that one, these ones, those ones over there, this one. Get to Almighty God and talk to Him about it. As opposed to, oh, well, that one, if they and he and she and if they would have, could have. God, working in the situations of life. Working it out for His glory. When we see something beautiful, we give thanks. You give thanks to the Lord. You hear your living in Father. Palm trees, blue skies, green grass, beautiful flowers, beautiful weather, beautiful. Do you give thanks for that? If anything, I hear people grumbling, oh, it's not 85 today, it's 82. A spirit of thankfulness that should ooze out of you. Giving thanks. You enter a time of trouble, you look to God for help and deliverance. Unfortunately, that's many people's prayer life. They don't want to know God until they get jammed up. And then all of a sudden, whoa, then the knocking starts. What about the day-to-day when everything, quote-unquote, is going okay? Are you living a life of thankfulness to Him? Or see, well, I got no other options. You hear people say, well, all you can do is pray. That should be all that you do. Not as the last option. It's the first option. When we weep, we lean on God for support. When we're happy, we lift our hearts to God in thanksgiving. When we meet a lost sinner, we ask the Lord to convict that person, to save that person. And also we ask Him for help and able to bring forth the Word, even as Paul does in our text in Ephesians. The quote-unquote great apostle Paul, he's asking the saints to pray for him, to give him the words to speak. How much more you and I? When life is lived in the way that I'm speaking about, it becomes an ever-ascending prayer to the Lord. You want to know what prayer is to be like? It's to be like your breath. That's what prayer is. Like your breath. In and out. Walking and talking and driving and working and swimming and whatever. Our lives should be a continual breathing out of the soul's love and its dependence upon God. Where are you with your soul? That soul of yours should be crying out for God. It should be pursuing God hard. your number one desire in life, God Almighty, the presence of God, the soul ascending to the Father continually. Where are you in your prayers? God honors the always praying, the persevering prayers of His people. Turn to Luke 11. I started getting a little nervous when you were mentioning Luke. Turn to Luke 11. Verses 5 through 9. And He said to them, here's the Lord's God of light. Let me put this down on your level, fellas and gals. And He said to them, which one of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he's going to rise and give him as many as he needs. And here's Christ. So I say to you, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. Christ is saying, listen, if you can wear this pagan down and give you what you want, how much more the Heavenly Father? Who invites you, and not only invites you, tells you to come boldly into the throne room of grace and mercy. And I would ask you, no matter what your political beliefs are, if you had an invitation to come in to the President of the United States and ask him for anything you want, you'd be up there yesterday. And here's God Almighty saying, come boldly into the throne room of grace and mercy. And it's kind of like, nah, I ain't doing that. How bizarre is it? How sinful we are as men and women that the God of this universe condescends to you. I ain't got no time for that. People tell me that all the time. I got no time to pray. How about you turn the radio off? Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. Put the magazine away. I ain't got no time. You ain't got no desire. Ephesians 6:18 tells us what we should be doing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Supplication in the Spirit refers to specific requests. Specific. Let me ask you something. Do you get specific if the doctor tells you tomorrow, hey, you got brain cancer? You going to get specific? You just lost your job. You just lost this. This just happened. Japanese just attacked Pearl Harbor. Going to get specific in your prayers? We need to be specific in our prayers. Ephesians 6, verses 19 through 20. And for me, it's the Apostle Paul. He's writing the book, and he's saying, pray for me. What? What, Paul? That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Here's Paul asking the Ephesians to pray for him specifically, that he would be bold. People all the time, they talk about Spurgeon. You know why Spurgeon was a great preacher? Because he had a machinery. He had a boiler room with all people of his congregation praying for him. You want me to put you on the spot? You pray for me? Do you pray that I would have an utterance, that I would speak a word to the congregation? Here's the Paul. Here's Paul. He's saying, hey, I need prayer. I tell you, I need prayer. Just like every one of you need prayer. Specific friend. Specific prayer. Pause. For me. Utterance that he might open his mouth, speak boldly, and make known the mystery of the gospel. Two great truths are found in the passage today. Paul does ask for very specific prayers to be prayed. Very specific. when all our praying is general in nature, how are you ever going to know when or if the Lord answers your prayer? I give you a perfect example. I see our sister here. Our son-in-law specifically asked for prayer a year ago that he would pass the paramedic thing. Did a bunch of you all go to see that Friday night? That's a specific prayer that I can look back on Friday nights. We prayed specifically that the Lord would bless Rob in his studies because he's working a full-time job, had to go to classes, didn't know if he was going to be able to make it. That's what I'm talking about, specific prayer. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless every paramedic in the world. That's general prayer. Specific prayer. That you can look back, here I am, I'm standing in the pulpit saying, praise God, he answered that prayer, that man, his request was answered, and his wife, and his mom's. And those of us that pray for him specifically. Specific prayers. As I said, if they're general prayers, how are you going to know if the Lord answered your prayer? Lord, I pray you save everybody. Jesus repeatedly calls on us to pray specifically. Turn to John 14. John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever is generalized, but it's in his name. It's according to his will that the Father would be glorified in that situation. That's what our prayers are supposed to be. That the Father is glorified in. Just listen to your prayers. Even if you are praying, listen to your prayers. I, me, gimme. And there is a place for that. But if the place is more for others. As Paul said, listen, can you pray for me, saints? Christ says, listen, pray what? Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. The health and wealth people kind of leave those conditions off in the end. I'm asking whatever I want, Lord. You've got to answer that. You promised. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So we know that that's the will of God. That's pretty specific, that you go and you bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That's pretty specific. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. It's about being fruitful. It's about praying in the will of the Lord. This is the Lord's agenda, the Lord's will. And he tells us to pray specifically. He tells us to pray without ceasing. And it also reminds us it's okay to request prayer for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with requesting prayer for yourself. But just do a little comparison. Is it all about you? Or is it all about your brother and sister? Or is it all about God Almighty? And the more that you pray, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be less about you. Because you're going to get pretty bored with yourself pretty quick. If you're just praying about yourself. But if you're praising the Lord, prayer is not just gimme, gimme, gimme. It's living in the presence of Almighty God. Worshiping the Lord. We have such a perverted view of what prayer is today. Like God is a Santa Claus just giving out gifts. We're to worship the Lord in his presence. Paul did not ask for prayers for himself, but he did so for the glory of God. Notice what our text says in Ephesians. And for me then, utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He cares about the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He's praying for the glory of God. That's what we should be praying about. What is your primary focus? What is the content of your prayer. Notice what it said in verse 18. As I said about praying for yourself. Well, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. What? And supplication for all the saints. Let me ask you something. When you're praying during the week, daily, just picture where everybody is right now. And when you're praying, are you praying for all these people? Are your eyes closed and you're praying for Matt and Sandra and Pat and Betty and Dan Harper? Praying for those people? Praying for Ed? Praying for Sandy? Praying for Tom? Praying for Nancy? Are you making supplication for all the saints? Brother, we have a high calling. And this is so neglected today. It's kind of like this flippant, you know, hey, Lord, give me this. Prayer is work. If you notice where the context is, the armor of God, Roman soldier, and he wraps it up by saying, listen, praying always. He's saying basically all of that armor isn't enough. And I'll tell you what. In ancient days, one of the hardest things was the communication between headquarters and the battlefield. You're out on the battlefield, and the general's 50 miles away. Well, you better get somebody quick on a horse or quick on his feet to go get the plan from headquarters. Just like today, warfare is much different. You just hit your little gizmo and you're in touch with headquarters. Well, I hate to tell you, our prayer is our little gizmo with headquarters. Instant access. Come boldly into the throne room of grace and mercy. Praying always. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in cooperation with the Spirit of God. Look at Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Prayer is hard work. That's why it's the Cinderella of the church universally. And I'll tell you this. The church in America and the church in the persecuted lands, two different concepts of prayer. When you're being tortured and beaten every day, you got a tendency to cry out a little bit more. When you're chilling on the beach with a Mai Tai, things ain't too bad. You're being beaten for the faith in a jail cell in the Sudan or Nigeria, or they're lopping your head off in Kenya. Well, you got a tendency to pray a little bit different. But it shouldn't be any different if you're here, if you're there, if you're alone, if you're corporate. Romans 8, 26, 27. And I know this is a hard message, but I also know the Bible is hard, and prayer is hard, and being a soldier is hard. There's too much sugar coating from pulpits throughout the land. Tickling your ears, tickling your toes, rub your toes, you take your feet off, let me rub your toes for you. As opposed to, listen, open your Bible, does it say praying without ceasing? That's what it means. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So right there, he's telling you, there's going to be weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for. Huh? You ever get jammed up there? Weaknesses. You don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit himself makes intercession. Now the Spirit, he thinks it's pretty important. He's making intercession for you. And you've got no regard for prayer. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. It says in Ephesians, supplication for the saints, with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know that thing deep down? Oh, it's just, Lord, please. Now he who searches the heart, he knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The triune God is involved in your prayer life. Shall you not be involved in it? Shall I not be involved in it? All prayer begins with God and ends with God. How did you come into the faith? You read that as the verse that I read. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. What is that? That's a prayer. Lord, be mercy seated to me, a sinner. Started off with God, and you signed it, sinner. All prayer, beginning with God, ending with God. Prayer is such a valuable resource. You should make it one of your top priorities, brothers and sisters. You can't get away from it. Don't force the Lord to put you in a position to cry out. Don't be so disobedient that the Lord says, you know, let me back him into this corner, and then I'll start crying out. That was the problem with the Jewish people all throughout the Old Testament. The Lord blessed them with materialism, with safety and stuff, and they would forget the Lord. In closing, but to be in contact with the Lord and to know that He hears us and He answers our prayers. And that is a blessing beyond belief. If you really sat down and looked at it, that God Almighty invites you to ask whatsoever things that you will, and He tells you to come and to ask Him, and you treat that so haphazardly. And when I say you, I said it to myself first. I'll be the first one running out here, Lord, please, before I even get out of the pulpit. But let me remind you. Let's end with Ephesians 6. We've been in this journey for a year. It started off by Paul addressing the saints who are in Ephesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians started off Paul telling them about the grace of God. And because of that grace, you have peace with God now. And every imperative that we read in Ephesians over the last year, every command that you heard issued from this pulpit, it's only possible because of the grace of God. Because every one of us is going to come up short day after day after day. How could you not come up short? Pray without ceasing. There's nobody fulfilling that perfectly. We need His grace day in and day out. So Paul ends Ephesians. Three chapters. These indicatives, this is who you are. Then three chapters of the imperative. This is what you must do, wrapping it up with praying always. It's like you talk about a hard command. Praying always. Verse 23 of Ephesians 6 in closing. Peace to the brethren. So after all those commands, you would be like, oh boy, how am I going to have peace? Peace to the brethren and love with faith. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Paul starts off with grace and peace, and he ends with grace and peace. And Father, I would pray that day in and day out, that we, moment by moment, would know that we are living in your presence. That moment by moment we would breathe prayer, that we would talk to you before anyone, anything, before we plan anything, do anything. As soon as we open our eyes, Lord, may we be speaking with you. And the moment before we close our eyes, may we be speaking with you. And may the moment we take our last breath, Lord, may we be speaking with you. For someday we will see you face to face. And all the prayers that we have offered up in faith, we will see the one face to face that has granted us that has granted us those prayers answered, those gifts given to us. And Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your gentleness with us and your long-suffering with us. And we thank you, Father, that we, having been justified by faith, that we now have peace with you. And it's all because of your grace. And we thank you and praise you for that grace. In Jesus' precious name, amen.